Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
In Isaiah chapter 46, the Lord reminds us to remember this, to cling to these words, where He says this, "I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me," declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things which have not yet been done. My purpose will be established, and I will accomplish my good pleasure. That's quite a statement from God. And from this statement by God Himself, we see that all of the events, everything that unfolds in the course of time, all of those things are under the authority of God. And what He intends to happen will come to pass. There is nothing outside of His control. And He reveals in His Word that what will take place, He tells us what will take place, and He tells us long before it even happens. And then He aligns all of the circumstances. He puts them all in place so that His Word is fulfilled. He is sovereign. He is Lord and Master over all things. As Job said in Job 42:2, "I know that Thou canst do all things, and that no purpose, no thought of Thine will be cut off or restrained," so that all of the events of history that have been unfolding according to His divine will since the beginning of time, everything is unfolding just as He has planned it. Do you believe that? Well, since this is true, we might wonder why. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus tells us to pray. In fact, He gives us instructions how to pray. So the question is, does prayer really matter? Does prayer really change anything, since God knows everything and He orders everything according to His plan? He doesn't need information from us, information we give Him in prayer. He's not blindsided by our circumstances or our problems. So should we pray? Jesus prayed to His Father in heaven, and then He instructed His disciples to pray. Even in the Old Testament, we read in Jeremiah 29, the Lord said, "I know the plans that I have for you, plans for good, plans for peace, not plans for misery or distress, to give you a future, to give you hope." Well, yet He adds this, He says, "Call upon me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." So why should we pray if God already has a plan for good for us? Well, that is a question that has puzzled many people, a question that you might have asked yourself. But it is a question that has an answer. God not only ordains and decrees the outcome of His plans, He ordains the means by which He brings about those outcomes, those results. And somehow our prayers, lifted up to Him according to His will, according to His word, prayers that seek to glorify Him are part of the means by which He fulfills those plans. Isn't that amazing? That our prayers are part of the plan of God, so our prayers are important, aren't they? Our prayers do matter. In fact, we might even say our prayers are essential. We're told in James 5:16, the effective prayer. Oh, what is an effective prayer? Well, that's the prayer that brings results, doesn't it? And so we're told that this effective prayer, when prayed by a righteous man or a righteous woman, by a disciple of Jesus Christ, who does not harbor sin or deceit in his heart, who lives honestly and righteously before God and man, that prayer, we're told, accomplishes much. Those who are strong in their faith pray strong prayers, prayers that seek the will of God. And so, in the passage of Scripture that is before us today, in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13, Jesus encourages us to pray. He encourages us to pray consistently, to pray boldly, to pray fervently, to pray without ceasing. And he illustrated our need to pray like that by telling us a story. And so, we're told in verse 5, where he said to his disciples and to us, now suppose that one of you has a friend, a neighbor, and you go to him at midnight, meson uktian, sometime in the middle of the night, rather inconvenient time for a visit, wouldn't you say? Since most people back then went to bed early, since they got up early, around sunrise. And so after arriving at the house of your friend, at least he is up to this point, you call out to him and you say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Well, these are 3 small pieces of flat bread. Hardly an emergency. But you say, a friend of mine has just come to me from a journey, and I want to show him hospitality, which hospitality was important in that culture. But here's my problem. I have nothing to set before him. And from inside the house, we are told, this man answered in verse 7, and he said, perhaps what we might say if we were woken up in the middle of the night with someone shouting outside of our house. And he said, do not bother me. Pareko in Greek. Stop bringing trouble to my house. Well, you can see that the door, thura, the door or the gate, is already been shut. Cleo, it's locked up tightly. And my children, paideon, these are small children, my children are in bed with me. And all of the family would have slept in one room in that house. They would have slept on mats. And so he says, I can't get up without waking the entire household. I can't get up and give you anything just so you can provide a midnight snack to that traveler. Then in verse 8, Jesus gets right to the point of the story. Here's the point. The man outside of the house would not give up. He stood there in the middle of the night, and he kept shouting and calling on his friend over and over again to give him some bread. And here is Jesus' summary of that. He says in verse 8, I tell you that even though that friend will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet he says, because of the persistence of that man, he will get up and he will give him as much as he needs. Anai, they are in Greek. Persistence. Relentlessness. Relentless appeals. Even shameless insistence. Boldness. His persistence succeeded where his friendship had failed. And this story illustrates an amazing promise. In the opening verses of this chapter, you'll recall, Jesus told us how we are to come to our Father in heaven when we pray. We are to come reverently. We are to come confidently. We are to come knowing that now in Christ, he will answer us, that his name might be glorified. But Jesus tells us here that we are to come persistently, without growing weary, without becoming discouraged, without wavering. Our Father in heaven will answer us at the right time and in the right way. But the point is, he will answer. He knows the way that we take. And when he has tried us and tested us and proved us, we will come forth as gold. So in verse 9, Jesus says to us, in fact, it's a little stronger than that, he commands us to keep asking, ateo in Greek. Keep making your request known to God, but not for the wrong reasons. It's not a blank check. Don't ask because of selfishness as your motivation, as it says in James chapter 4. Not for your own glory, but for the glory of God. Then he says, it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over in abundance. Well, that's quite a promise, isn't it? Keep seeking the face of God, Jesus says. Zeteo in Greek. Keep inquiring of heaven. And you shall find the answer to your prayers. Keep knocking, he says. Kruo. Keep pounding on the door of heaven. Remind God of his promises in his word. He is ever faithful to his promises. And it says in verse 9, the door of heaven shall be opened to you for everyone in the family of God who asks. Everyone who is focused on the glory of God receives an answer, Jesus says in verse 10. And he who seeks the Lord will find him to be willing to answer our prayers. And to him who knocks, he says again, knocks on the door of heaven, it shall be opened to him. Isn't this an amazing thing? And Jesus tells us this should be no surprise to you. If that man responded to his friend, why would you think that your Father in heaven would ignore you, since you are his children, whom he loves and whom he cares about? Then Jesus says, now suppose this, verse 11. Suppose that one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish to eat. He will not give him a poisonous snake instead of a fish, will he? No, of course not. Or if his son asks him for an egg to eat, he won't give him a deadly scorpion instead of an egg, will he? We say, naturally, he wouldn't do that. Why? Because he loves his son. So Jesus says, if you then being evil, poneros, wicked by nature, children of wrath, prone to fail, prone to fall, prone to make mistakes as you raise your children. We don't always get it right, do we? Yet, he says, you know how to give good gifts to your children. You're generous, you're kind, you're loving to them. So he says, how much more shall God, who is now your Father, your heavenly Father, give what? The guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit to those who ask him in prayer. He won't deceive us. He won't harm us. He won't leave us on our own. And this statement of Jesus here in this verse is a little bit different than what he said back in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, isn't it? Where he spoke of God giving us good things, giving us what is good in answer to our prayers. He knows. He knows what we need. We're in his hands. We're in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. So we keep asking for wisdom. We keep asking for discernment. We keep asking for help. And Jesus says you will receive it. But here, in this verse in Luke, Jesus goes even further than that. We ask for the gift of the answer to prayer. We ask for the answer. Not only does he give us the answer, he gives us the giver of the gift. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us wisdom and discernment. We ask for comfort. He gives us the comforter. We ask for help. He gives us the helper. We ask for power. We ask for strength. He gives us the source of power and of strength. We ask for truth. And what does he give us? The Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit who lives within those of us who belong to Jesus Christ is the source of every good thing in our lives. Isn't that what Ezekiel said? Isn't that what the Lord said in Ezekiel 36, where he said, I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit, a new spirit in you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. So, what has Jesus told us today? He told us we're to come boldly. We're to come confidently before the throne of grace. But, he says, we are to come persistently. We are to be persistent in our prayers. Don't give up. Don't give up praying, knowing that the Lord will do exceeding abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think. According to what? According to the power, the miraculous power that works within us. And what is that power? That is the power of the Spirit of God ordering our steps according to his will in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.